Okay. What happened? All right, now can you see this? Did I share
Not yet.
it? Oh dear. Is that any different?
Yep,
Yes,
it
we've got that
works.
now.
Okay. All right. So we came up, I had several titles for this. Oh, sorry. Today is October 16th, and we are doing the second part of a lesson called Spiritual Zion. And what prompted me to go through this thought process was what Mauricio has talked about with the spiritual Kirkland and spiritual Zion and building. What is needed so that we have a united order that the Savior can return and begin his second invitation to come to us and begin the end of this millennial process and this world that we are living in. There's a lot that we need to do, and the sealed book was given to us at this time, specifically to teach us how to do the next steps of our spiritual growth and our learning to be prepared. And so this was thoughts that I put together as I was trying to kind of bring everything together of what Mauricio's talked about. What, why, and how we may be able to progress along that road. So we had gotten, I'm going to go down here. We had gotten to the part of several scriptures that I had picked out in the sealed book. And I have a hard time remembering scriptures. And so what I did was, as I was thinking all of this through, I just picked the book up and started to skim through it and look for things. And these are the verses that popped out at me of an explanation of spiritual progress that I felt the sealed book is teaching us. Last week, we started with chapter 3, 62 and 65, and that was the last one that we had time to consider. So, what we're going to do today is go through the rest of them. And the first one that's on that list is chapter 4, verse 4. So, anybody who has that could volunteer to read it for us. So, this is in Moses, the sealed book, Book of Moses, chapter 4. Verse 4. We have anybody that could read that? Russell is.
And he became Satan, yea, even the devil, the
Wait,
father of a
wait. Chapter 4, verse 4.
Moses 4, verse 4.
Moses, am I in the wrong place? You never know with me. It's been a difficult. Now, this is chapter 4, sealed book of Moses.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. I'm not there. So
okay.
Feel free to pick somebody else until I get there.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I can if you want, Sister Jeannie.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Des.
Yep. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 4 of Sealed Book of Moses. Okay. And the priests who proclaimed it had great dominion over the sons of Cain, who were the majority on the face of the earth. On the other hand, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, and Jared, being preachers of justice, spread the gospel wherever they went, establishing congregations everywhere and teaching their followers the power that is the name of God, and were again aware of that of the feelings derived from his name were the keys that control the priesthood power of the only begotten Son among men in the flesh, thereby nullifying the influence and power of Satan wherever they preached.
Okay, this jumped out to me because I think that's what we're being asked to do. We're being asked to be prepared as a people to be able to nullify that influence and power of Satan. You know, just as it said in the first part, it says the sons of Cain who were the majority on the earth. That's where we are. And we have to prepare ourselves for standing as a warrior for our Lord. And that's why this verse was jumped out at me. Any comments?
Well, I think it's interesting in verse 3, where it talks about how, talking about how the sons of Cain are the majority. And in turn, some descendants of the sons of Cain in their own way also begin to verbally invoke the name of God of Adam. It's easy to talk about God, but if you got, do you really have the true doctrine?
Right.
It's because they did so in an erroneous and profane manner, only making use of a pronouncement from the human tongue. Anyway, it goes on, but yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if it was Russell or Harm, but I believe one of you had talked about, you know, we're making a journey, we're moving from like the left hand of God to the right hand of God. And it's a process. The next one is in chapter 4 again, and it is 17 through 25. It's a lot longer, so maybe we'll break it up. If somebody wants to read 17 through 19.
I could redeem myself.
Okay.
What makes you pleasing to my eyes? Because never before have I found in one man the fullness of my name engraved on his heart, just as there is within you the feelings of charity, enthusiasm, peace of the spirit, resignation to withstand adversities, tolerance, compassion, faith, tenderness, and self-control, believing that you will attain a higher kingdom with such gifts that are in you. Seek to have with you a congregation of those who resemble you. For if you can gather all the good feelings derived from my name into the men, women, and children of your congregation, then the sum of these attributes will be my reason to take you, because you bear in yourself the likeness of my only begotten, who is full of grace and power. And because you have all these gifts within your heart, you will never walk alone, because I will always be with you, while you will walk with God in your ways.
Okay. Who is talking in this, in these verses? We need to just go back and establish that.
Isn't it God?
It is. That's who I took it to be, is God is talking to Moses, and Moses is the one that he's talking about. It's just continues to amaze me. You know, Mauricio has asked us come down to Brazil and visit, and that the city of refuge will be in Brazil. And we in different parts of the world have to be thinking about this in the back of your mind, where it says in 18 that the men, women, and children of your congregation have to be alike. We have to be together, and we have to have a reason to be able to go to the celestial kingdom. God has to have a reason to take us, to want us. And I think that's what Mauricio in the sealed book is trying to explain to us. So it kind of sounds like in 19 to me anyway, that we all are going to have the gifts in our hearts, but we've also been told that not everyone is going to be able to use the same gift. Any thoughts on all of that before we continue?
I can just comment a little bit. You're touching on the great and eternal purpose of the sealed book and God's plan of redemption of mankind through the gathering of the house of Israel and all the things, the coming of Zion and righteousness sweeping the earth as with a flood. All this is dependent upon what you're reading and discussing. And it's just, I don't know, it just makes me feel excited in a way. It makes me feel, I don't know, inadequate, I suppose, or just wonder how all this is going to happen. But the amazing thing is, it's happening. And it's like, I know back in biblical days, there was after the last words of Malachi, the sun sat on the prophets, or the sun went down over the prophets, and there was 400 years of darkness before the coming of the New Testament era, and it must have been a terrible time. People not, you know, nothing, well, as far as we know, that there was no interaction between heaven and earth, but now it's completely different. Angels are again coming to the earth, just like we sing about. It's just wonderful.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Yes, totally. Totally possible that the veil is thinning and we are growing spiritually. I'm going to read verse 20. For behold, the feelings of my name that are in you are intimate. Therefore, I will justify all your words, and the mountains shall flee before thee, and the rivers shall stray from their course. And you shall abide in me, that is, in my priesthood. For behold, I call upon my servant Adam, the first priest of the holy order among men, to ordain you to the priesthood of my only begotten, and so obtain in you the fullness of my grace that already act in you through the faith that is in your heart. Sometimes I think that they're, you know, why didn't we come down here and just have no veil, just know everything? But of course, that wasn't the plan. But what's within us is part of our spiritual being. And I told John one time, I said, it's like having a man heart, you know, the human heart, all the emotions and the issues and problems that presents to us daily. And then there's this God heart, a heart that I just think is the part that the Spirit talks to us that when we say our prayers, that's the part that leaps inside of us when we're talking to the Lord and to our Heavenly Father, that's the God heart that came with us from the spirit world to where we are now. And the more that we can give credence to that heart within us, the more we are able to build a spiritual group of people to be together with. And this kind of says that to me anyway, that because he's talking about what we already have within us. Can anybody read verse 21?
I can read it. Therefore, walk with me now. However, anoint thy eyes with clay and wash them, and thou shalt see. And so did Enoch that which God commanded him. Happened then that as Enoch traveled by the eastern sea in the flaming carriages of the cherubim, that a vision opened before his eyes, and the Lord led him through the many abodes that are in the vastness of the heavens, where Enoch was informed of the importance of the name of God among the elect people of his day, and the gifts, which are sentiments derived from the sacred name, to inhibit and drive away the powers of darkness among the children of men by the knowledge of his pure doctrine and the correct observance of his commandments.
So, any thoughts? When I looked at this and it said, Enoch traveled by the eastern sea and a vision opened before his eyes, and the Lord led him through the many abodes that are in the vastness of the heavens. We have been told that there are mansions in the sky that are being built. We've been told that there are many worlds that we don't know about. And that word abode just kind of struck me in the vastness. And Enoch was told how important the name of God is and how important the sentiments are and the purpose of them. And that it's what is going to be within us to be able to drive away the powers of darkness, and make the people who don't understand now, give them a chance to have their eyes opened and their ears opened and know who the Lord is and the correct observance of his commandments. And I know when John handed me this book, I was raised to know what the Ten Commandments were, but I probably couldn't recite them very well to you. So much had been in my life that hadn't been close to God. So I just think, the sealed book has given us this message, and he's told us the sentiments are what's important. Observing his commandments are important. Being able to open our eyes and listen to him and learn from him, that those are all important things we need to do. Who could read verse 22?
Sister Jeannie, I could read that if that's okay.
Thank you.
Right. Verse 22. God then made known to him the importance of his name, which was already being invoked in the hearts of those who heard the preaching of his ancestors, but who did not understand the importance of using these gifts derived from the name of God, or in other words, the sentiments that flow from his name, to obtain thereby the victory over the influential powers of Satan, which are feelings coming from the darkness, opposed to the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Could you read 23 also?
Yes. In order to invoke the many names of God, it is necessary to develop the gifts. Therefore, the corresponding feelings for each one of them, and yet protect your hearts against the evil feelings that will be interposed in an uproar of stupor of thoughts.
Okay.
And perhaps 24 might also continue in
okay.
that one as well. Faith, in turn, grounds the right feelings, nullifying the influence of opposing feelings. And this generates the strength of the priesthood within man, who in turn interacts in the physical world. And this is the way prepared from the foundation of the world, in which the only begotten Son shall come into the world and glorify the name of the Father, giving his disciples knowledge of these things, preparing the way by which others might be partakers of this gift, that they may have hope. And if you only hope that your feelings cannot be shaken, then you will have faith. And if you have this faith, then you will have in yourself the keys to open or close all situations. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a lot of information in this little section about God and how to understand how to use the gifts, how to just go through this process of getting ourselves closer to Heavenly Father. And again, I think if we try to do it with the man heart, it's going to be very, very difficult. And I think that that's part of, a contrite spirit, coming and being teachable, coming and learning, asking God to give us this knowledge and have it take over our being, have it become stronger in us than the man part of us that we have. In 23, where it says, protect your hearts against evil feelings that will be interposed in an uproar and stupor of thoughts. When the time comes that we are asked to do something, it's probably going to be a point in our surroundings that there's going to be total chaos, and leaning towards the Lord will be one of the hardest things that we are going to have to do, to protect ourselves and step away from what Satan is presenting to us, and to be able to move towards the protection that the Lord offers to us if we will take it, and to the strength and power that we have within us but haven't been able to use yet, that we can stand as warriors and build the spiritual united kingdom, spiritually and temporally, to be able to protect ourselves, but also to tell Satan to go away. He's not going to stand up against us. And then the last sentence there in 24, where it says, then you have in yourselves the keys to open or close all situations. That's just amazing to me.
May I comment? I'm really amazed at the way God so subtly put the fullness of the everlasting gospel even in the King James Version of the Bible, even though a lot of it has been taken out, it's still in there in a way. For example, Proverbs 4:23 reads, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And some of the translations, the Bible translations, translate that as keep your heart or guard your heart. And so that's what this verse 23 is talking about. And so I think that somebody who has just the Bible, who really seeking the Lord will explain these things to them. But some of us are more thick-headed. We need to see it in writing, like in the sealed book, to begin to really understand it. But it's that desire within you, just like Enoch, is the desire to serve the Lord is the key thing here. And I just, you know, I think of this verse, Proverbs, this verse 23, you know, it's easy to remember the proverb if you just think, guard your heart, because that's what we have to do, is protect our hearts from these adverse feelings.
Right. Right. And we have to have the desire and the want to do that. Otherwise, we're going to be completely lost. Okay, so 25 is the last verse in this section. Who would be able to read that? Suzanne, do you have your books with you or not? Maybe she can't hear me.
I don't.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Right. I can read it.
All right, thank you.
The names of God are fundamental so that we can know more about him, because they are an expression of the person of God within the children of men, reflecting their nature, importance, and divine characteristics among our fellow men. God reveals himself in us through their names, so that we are the representatives of his name on the face of the whole earth. And if you take the name of his son, who is after the likeness of the Father, whose name equals to yours, then such names will lead you to know and admire his attributes, which are inseparable from his person. And just as it was said to Enoch, man shall also walk with God, and being in this state of communion through the priesthood, or the grace of God in relation to women and other members of the covenant who were not called to the priesthood, but are filled with grace, the likeness of the only begotten Son of the Father. The elements then recognize recognize the command of him who, acting in the name of his son, through the feelings corresponding to the desired action, that is, to the divine stimulus within himself, then nothing will be impossible, but behold, all things will be subject to him through faith and prayer. This is one of those power verses that is way beyond what I can comprehend at the moment.
Oh, thank you for reading that. And I'm sure each and every one of us giving this some thought would come up with a lot of general ideas of comprehension of it. I don't think it's a verse that has a specific meaning for everybody. I think each of us probably can take away an individual feeling of this. There's so much in this verse. And to the end of it takes us back to creation, takes us back to how the Lord created everything spiritually first, because the elements, they were spiritual. They understood who God was and had already given themselves to what, to the Lord being the supreme being, to the hierarchy, if you want to think of it that way, to ultimate devotion to our Lord. And then when they were created as a rock or a piece of the sky or whatever, they understood their position. And so when the Lord said, when God said, with the power of God, and he created the mountain or whatever, then this verse is telling us that they are also going to listen to us. Nothing is going to be impossible. And we sit here and think, well, you know, I'm just trying to wonder how I'm going to, if I have a piece of faith the size of a mustard seed, I'm going to move the mountain. It's the love for our Heavenly Father and the life that we choose to live that is what's inside of us, what will grow. And if we are that way, then everything is going to come about. All things are going to be subject, you know. We will have that power, but if we're living here as man, we're not going to be able to do that. It's a change within ourselves that we have to put the practice into. And as men, mankind, we're not always going to get it right. But Jesus said, you know, we pray to God through him. And he knows what it's like. And I don't know. Anybody else have thoughts?
Well, can I read a related verse?
Yes.
In chapter 14 of Moses, verse 23, this really elaborates on this. It gets really exciting. It says, but behold, since the elements are arranged by the gifts, which are feelings derived from the name of God in me, they are grouped by the power of faith, which through command of the word of God, the worlds were created. And so all creation submits to the authority that is in the name of God and of his only begotten Son, through the order of his priesthood for the sake of his own deliverance. So that's the last verse of chapter 14, but it takes us back to creation and how God created with the spoken word, and how that is something that is available to this side of the veil through faith and these feelings. It's
I wonder if it also, it seems to indicate that priesthood in these verses is not the way we normally understand the word. That is not something just conferred and now you have the priesthood.
Right. I agree. And I think that's the part that people don't understand when we say that women have a priesthood of their own. You know, women have the same availability to this power that men have, but they've been given a priesthood that they can tangibly say that they've received. But it's the power of using that, understanding what it means. So, Russell, I think you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah, So much of it
is predicated on our faith, obviously. Like, you know, it's not, because someone can receive the priesthood, but if they're not living a worthy life and they don't have the faith, they're not going to have the power. I mean, that's right. Not how God works, you know. He's not going to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in faith, humility is another big factor that I think this is bringing out. How you've got to humble yourself to really get the feelings and the power through God to really have any power in the priesthood. An ordination is kind of a minor step.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the most important messages of the sealed book is that has to do with this subject. And we just read the verse that talks about the powers available, the same powers available through feelings to both men and women, or available through the church. In one sense, priesthood has to do with covenants. Like you think in the temple, taking care of the temple and so on. And in our case now, priesthood is supposed to be the protector of the ordinances and see that they're done properly. But these powers we're talking about aren't confined to one of the status or another. It's like Moses when he was the sealed book. Again, when he remember the verses that said after he was ordained by Jethro to be a high priest, Moses said nothing changed. He wasn't any different. Like Russell was saying, the ordination was ineffective. It gave him the ability to pursue the priesthood effectiveness. And so Moses had to spend time with God alone before he was really figured it all out with the feelings and how to draw on these powers that from the names of God.
Think of all we know about Moses and what he went through and where he was in the time of his life when he received that priesthood. And then think of how he was able to use it at the parting of the Red Sea. And if it hadn't been for his faith and love for God, he wouldn't have been able to do that. But he also knew, like Brother Bob said, he went out and worked at it. He went out and searched and asked the Lord to understand why, when he received the priesthood, it didn't seem to have an effect on him, and he wanted to learn what that meant.
You know, it's like, you know, Moses, but even Moses was hesitant when he's standing there at the Red Sea with the armies of Pharaoh behind him and the people there, you know, in a panic, wondering what to do. It's like my granddaughter. I think she was like 5 years old. She was taking swimming lessons, and we have I have a memory of her standing on the diving board. She part of their lesson was to jump off the diving board into this deep water, and she stood on this diving board for quite a long time, several minutes, before she had the courage to jump off that board. And that was like Moses. Moses had everything in place, but he just didn't realize it. All he had to do was, what does the sealed book say? Call upon the winds of heaven, and the winds came and parted the Red Sea. Moses had to actually do it. And it was, I think we're all faced with that. We haven't had our first time. We're all going to face this first time, you know, and after that, hopefully it'll get easier. But, you know, it's something we need to, well, it's a challenge to all of us.
Yes, individually.
Can I just make a comment following on from Brother Bob's comment there about Moses and the faith that he had? Dad and I have been studying quite a bit on Moses, because we've got a second presentation to do on Moses coming up. And we found that some of the first faith that Moses gained was at the burning bush, the time of the burning bush, where he just received the rod out of the garden of Jethro's garden. He received the rod, and he didn't know the power of it until the burning bush time, when the Lord asked him to throw it on the ground and it turned into a serpent. and he was astonished and jumped away from it. And after that, he also put his, the Lord asked him to put his hand into his bosom and remove it. And then when he removed it, it was leprous. He had leprosy on his hand. And then the Lord asked him to put it back in on his bosom again, and it was changed back to his normal hand again. And he started to get that faith that he could do things.
The power of
the God. Power of God, yes. Yeah, was yeah. Shown to yeah. him. And we've got more to present on that, but it was very interesting how he got the rod and the power. He understood because God told him that that rod would do many wonders and signs to Pharaoh when they went to visit him, and he had faith in that rod. That's why by the time all the plagues were brought with the rod, when they came to part the Red Sea, he knew with those feelings what it could do when he lifted up that rod, and God reminded him to lift up the rod and, you know, and part these waters. It says that in the seal book anyway, but that was something we found, that he was getting that faith to grow inside Moses.
I think we all, we all in our journey of faith do that in steps. We have confidence in those that have given witness to their experience with God, and we experiment that way, hopefully ourselves, in our connection to those things which we know are of God, and we gain that that faith, and we build on it, and we are able, as the scripture tells us, that if you have but faith, you can do these things.
Can move mountains. And part waters.
And even Jesus in his ministry, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can do these marvelous things. So the seal book is giving us guidelines as to how we might sharpen our focus on those things that will give us that power to be able to do that. By the way, I guess in that too, there is the other element that must be mentioned, and that is the priesthood of Melchizedek, or the priesthood of the Son of God. That's been missing from the earth for a long, long time, and therefore there have not been, sort of many examples of those who are not connected directly, in spiritual connections, or have not been until more recently, and therefore the opportunity is for each one of us to work on that, and to be able to do those things that the Lord would want us to do.
And it also says about the power of that unless you have the power of those feelings, you cannot heal the sick or do those things. Yeah.
Once again, we need that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the sealed book is trying to push us off the diving board.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Also, what you said about the priesthood, I think we're beginning now to pull all of this together and can understand why it is easy to feel that the churches that each of us have individually attended, and what Brother Mauricio had said, about the apostasy that they are in, and why we're not getting the information that we need, like the LDS Church, Mauricio. Well, the seal book even says it, the apostasy that the LDS is in. And, Mauricio has asked us to pull the three main branches together. And now I think we're learning more about why that is. Why are we banding together and learning from each other and seeking the Lord more? There's a purpose to us being in like-mindedness, I guess, is a way to say it. Thank you all for your input. It's getting a little late. We're not going to be able to finish these verses. So I can continue next week and finish these up with the last several chapters there that I had pulled out. Your input that everybody is putting in is wonderful, because sometimes I put this together, but I don't always have a whole understanding of this, and it helps when you guys put it in different words and maybe make it a little clearer for those. So I appreciate it, what everybody says.
We appreciate what you do too, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a lot to put those lessons together, and I, for one, deeply appreciate you, Jeannie.
Thank you, dear.
Yes, Jeannie, thank you so much. I appreciate all of you. I've got to step away, but have a wonderful rest of your Sabbath, all of you, and just so thankful for all of your examples. And it's just this like amazing, insane, exciting ride that we're on.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to say one thing about what's going to be happening in the future. A revelation has been received recently. I imagine Brother Mauricio will be talking about it here soon. But the church was admonished to start midweek meetings.
Brother Bob, let me just find the part here. You guys are all very little. I need to stop the recording. And well, that didn't work.
Is it your Sabbath over there today? Is it? Is it Saturday there?
Is it what?
Is it Saturday there? Well, Sunday's not the Sabbath.
No, it's Sunday morning. But yeah. I learned from John that the Sabbath goes from noon on Saturday to noon on Sunday. So the Sabbath's almost over here in Utah.
All right. Since I made you guys all small to share you, I can't find the controls.
There should be at the top of your screen, but that's okay. We're okay to be small.
All right, here, stop sharing. Yeah, it's okay to be small, but the there it is, recording. Had to stop sharing.